Hello, welcome back to the Black and Buck Education Podcast. Now, I gotta start this episode off saying thank you. Y'all showed up and showed out on the last episode. I had no idea how many of you were either subscribed or that you liked the episodes, that you were just in a place where you had the time and the energy to sit down and listen to my voice. And the idea that 130 people with very limited promotion listened to that episode was absolutely flooring when I checked the analytics the other day on a whim, just wondering how many folks found their way back to the podcast. So after a year and a half of not recording any episodes, y'all showing up for an episode that I recorded in my car on the way to work is kind of insane. And I am extraordinarily and abundantly grateful for each and every one of you that listened to that episode and that are back for more. Today, I just want to talk about a program that I have built and developed that I just feel so passionately about, and not just because I created it. I had the pleasure and luxury of leading a three-part pilot of this program in the last 3 weeks, and it gave me the opportunity to really sit down with young people and see what the challenges they were experiencing at our school were, what they wanted to see as solutions to those challenges, helping them and supporting them in understanding how research is such a powerful tool in helping with advocacy. And I am just extraordinarily grateful to have gotten funding from the Tiny Fellowship to do that. And I think that it's important to have conversations about the things that we know as educators that work. And student voice is something that works every single time. Every time you're able to have a powerful conversation with a young person, even if the behaviors that you are trying to curb with those conversations continue, in that moment, that student felt loved, that student felt cared for, and they had the tools and they had the space to become a little bit more of themselves in the classroom. I think that we undercut how much we ask young people to mold and morph into a different version of themselves every time they step into a classroom. And so student voice asks us to think more about what they need and morph our classroom space, our roles and routines in our classroom into the things that they need to feel successful. And so what the Student Action Board is, just to get a little bit into the nitty-gritty, is I first developed it at the start of 2022 maybe. And last year, last spring this time, I had the opportunity to sit down with young people for an entire semester. We culminated with a protest where students used their data to protest against the lack of student voice in policies and procedures on our school's campus. And it was a beautiful opportunity. We continued to have conversations with school leadership about the data that we found. We continued to have conversations about with school leadership about various ways that they could address some of the data that is certainly not in alignment with the mission, the vision, and the values of the school. And so that was the starting point of that process of thinking about what a student action board can look like in a school. And we love the idea of it being a full-blown elective course, something that students can take semester one, semester two, as ways to, again, always be thinking about how you can review, reflect, and refine the policies and practices of your school to meet student needs. The next part of this process was going back to the drawing board, because even though we did this pilot, there's so many things that I, as someone who is excited to teach and was always committed to being the best that I could be, I still had very, very, and still to this day, have very, very limited understanding of how to build a strong, long-term, successful business. And so with that being said, the overwhelm came trying to do a bunch of things that weren't necessarily in alignment with what needed to be done to scale that program and get it to a place where it was in a bunch of different schools. It kind of just sent spent a lot of time in a Google Doc. I spent a lot of time talking about it and thinking about it, but not actually making any improvements toward getting it into more schools. I transitioned to another school and a new position and found that that school, similar to the last two that I worked at, had a lot of challenges as it related to supporting and serving Black and Brown students, and that many of them rooted in having same old continue, trying to, although we're a charter school, trying to reinvent an education system that is not working, has not worked, and continues not to work, particularly in Black and Brown communities. And so, knowing and understanding that to be true, I recognized that I needed to pick up, get in that Google Doc, and continue doing the work. And so I began to refine the program, think about what lessons were missing, think about what lessons could be more student-centered, sit down with students and have them read over the lessons and give thoughts and feedback, and realize that this is fantastic, this is great, but what does a shortened version of this look like for schools that might not be ready to take the full-on plunge into student-centered practices for an entire school year? So that is exactly what happened. The Tiny Fellowship requires us to do a 10-hour pilot across at least two sessions, and that is what I did. We did three sessions. First session focused on allowing students to be frustrated, allowing them to go out and say all the things that they don't necessarily have the space and time to say and do. Then we did our research. We got into the ability for students to think about how important it is for them to show up to a fight about the policies and procedures of a school building. If you're going to go to leadership and say they're doing it wrong, you need to tell them how to do it better. And you can't tell them how to do it better just based off of what you need. You got to tell them how to do it better based off of the needs of the students. So we put up a, what do we call it? We put a survey together. Students gave their thoughts and feedback about the topics that students thought were most important to start with this conversation. And then we came into our last session where from the beginning to the end of the session, they went from no presentations, nothing ready, to data analyzed and data that they were able to present to school leadership and to other teachers and staff. Also being able to confidently and clearly answer questions that people had thrown at them, even people who kind of were trying to push back on some of the things that students had to say. And that is fair, because a part of creating change is initiating powerful dialogue about what the needs of each stakeholder in the building are. And so, yes, when we say that we are student-centered, we are human-centered at the core of that. So we recognize that sometimes what students want and what teachers want are not in alignment, but the only way to get in alignment is to have a conversation. So I guess the tip for the day, or the thought or idea for you to leave this episode thinking about, is what ways are you, as an advocate for change in your school, creating the first part of this process, which is the conversation? And I think many of us have had these conversations in our siloed communities, but aren't necessarily having these opportunities to talk and be intentional about the ways that we are showing up for our young people by advocating for the change that they need to be successful. So what does it look like for us to have in-depth and powerful conversations with young people where they are starting the conversation, but we're not just leaving it there? We're allowing school leadership to give their thoughts and opinions. We're allowing teachers to give their thoughts and opinions. We're allowing support staff to give their thoughts and opinions. And those start to come together as, hey, many of us have very similar issues that we're dealing with. Many of us have similar experiences within this building, and many of us don't want to be here. And so the only way to create a school system where young people want to show up, teachers want to show up, leadership wants to show up, is by having positive school culture. And I, in Black on Black Education, truly and genuinely believe that there is power in student voice, and there is a need for young people to know that they have a seat at the table. So how can you, how can you create opportunities for students to have a seat at the table? That is my question for you this week. Thank you so much for everyone who listened to this episode. If you have not listened to the last episode, go back. And there are also 94 other episodes of the Black on Black Education podcast that you can dig into. So I hope to see you, hear you, and hear from you very, very soon. Bye, y'all.